you need to move your mic back in front of you?
No.
Nobody's going to be able to hear you.
Fine.
You and that mic.
I don't like it.
Well, you have
to. I really don't, folks.
If you want people to hear you.
I need a table mic.
But no. And then it'll be different than my mic.
Fine. Hi, everyone. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
Really?
I am.
I am so happy.
Just the fact that I don't like a mic doesn't mean I'm not fantastic. It's just a little confusing to have it in my face like this.
But that's the way it is. Have you not seen all the way in the black and white newscast? Hello? And they hold their hand. Hello, this is WKRP in Cincinnati.
What? I'm a writer, not a broadcaster.
You are a broadcaster. You've been broadcasting now for a very long time. Hi. So this is Andy coming to you live from Orange County, California with my love, Hedia. How are you? Besides that, not liking the mic.
I am fantastic.
That's good.
I wish the weather was still warm.
I know.
In sunny California.
Got the pool all clean, ready to go, and we can't even use it. You've been waiting. I know.
Nope.
Go to livingfearlessdevotional.com. That'll take you to Apple Podcasts, where you can give us 5 stars and give God a rating of and then a review of how fantastic he is.
Yes.
And working in our lives. We are so lucky and fortunate to have God in our lives. Hey, Robert, nice to see you. You were on early. We saw you saying hi. Paul Beyer, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
April Roga. That sounded like the guy from Saturday Night Live.
Which one?
The guy who used to give everybody nicknames. Like, Kelly Belly Bo Belly.
Oh,
Ray Ray. Ray Ray Kins. Retzky. Don't you remember that guy? The comedian? Yeah.
No, I just remember you doing that all the time.
I think the matching mics are hot. Yes, for sure. All right, we're going to get into the devotional. And Hedy is going to explain it to us because it is not easy. It was not easy to get through this one. I mean, I think the basic concept is simple, but the way that he was using words is a little complex, at least complex for me.
For me too.
All right.
Let's pray.
Oh, yes. We forgot. Go ahead. We didn't pray before we went live, so we need to do it now. Hedy, you're in charge.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your grace and your love. Thank you for this time of fellowship and for being in your word and studying your word, and send this knowledge and wisdom of your word to our hearts. It is living, it is breathing, it is infallible, and it is your words. It's your love letter to your sons and daughters. So help us to understand it and help it to edify us and enrich our lives. And may we also share it with others and bring your sons and daughters back to you. We love you. We worship you. And thank you for this time that we get to spend with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Okay. So a reading from My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. And the title of this particular devotional for April 12th is Complete and Effective Dominion. Now, I got confused. I thought they were talking about the voting software. No?
Mm-mm.
Dominion? I tried that joke before. It didn't work earlier either. All right. But now the post is probably going to get taken off. All right. And so the reference is Romans 6, 9 through 11. Death no longer has dominion over him. The life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. Co-eternal life. Eternal life is the life which Jesus Christ exhibited on the human level. And it is this same life, not simply a copy of it, which is made evident in our mortal flesh when we are born again. Eternal life is not a gift from God. Eternal life is the gift of God. The energy and the power which was so very evident in Jesus will be exhibited in us by an act of the absolute sovereign grace of God. Once we have made the complete and effective decision about sin, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Not power as a gift from the Holy Spirit. The power is the Holy Spirit, not something that he gives us. The life that was in Jesus becomes ours because of his cross. Once we make the decision to be identified with him, it is difficult to get right with God. It is because we refuse to make this moral decision about sin. But once we do decide, the full life of God comes in immediately. Jesus came to give us an endless supply of life, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Eternal life has nothing to do with time. It is the life which Jesus lived when he was down here. And the only source of life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the weakest saint can experience the power of the deity of the Son of God when he is willing to let go. But any effort to hang on to the least bit of our own power will only diminish the life of Jesus in us. We have to keep letting go, and slowly but surely, the great full life of God will invade us, penetrating every part. Then Jesus will have complete and effective dominion in us, and people will take notice that we have been with him. So we read that a few times and ended up going to another website. What's the website called?
Got Questions.
Got Questions.
It's actually a great website.
Your Questions, Biblical Answers is the subtitle of this website. And the question or confusion was about the very beginning of this part of the devotional. Eternal life is the life which Jesus exhibited on the human level. And it is the same life, not simply a copy of it, which is made evident in our mortal flesh when we are born again. And then later on, it talks about eternal life not being a matter of time.
Right.
And we were thinking, well, isn't that time? Eternal, isn't that a measure of time, even though it's infinite?
Right.
So what did we learn when we...
It actually did not hit me until we read this John 17:3, which is Jesus prays, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So, and I'm happy to admit, or not happy, I'm ready to admit that I didn't realize that the eternal life begins once we accept him. I always associated the eternal life with heaven when we die.
Yeah.
And apparently Got Questions says a lot of people think that's the body, the life you get when you die.
I just got the chills.
It's, you know,
for real.
For real?
For real.
But no, he's saying, no, we get it in this life, the miraculous rebirth. And we understand this conceptually, but we don't. This is like bringing it home that no, that rebirth is in this life. It happens in our flesh. It's not just something in our celestial body that happens when we meet Jesus in heaven, but that eternal life begins here.
Wow. Even though I read that with you, now I understand.
I mean, I'm still wrapping my head around it because I don't, like, now I understand why Oswald's saying it happens in an instant. It's not a gift. It is the gift. Mm. It's the ability. That's how we're able to even manifest the righteousness of Christ, is because we are given that eternal life, that eternal body, basically, that eternal existence. And that eternal existence is stuck in this kind of dirty mortal flesh of ours that existed before it. And so that's why he's saying, like, until you're dead to sin, you're never going to truly manifest the glory of this eternal life that you've been given, because your junk keeps coming on top of it. And what really confuses me about Oswald is he's like, you got to decide, put it to death. It happens in an instant. And then he's like, well, this takes time. So
it does get confused.
I'm like, bro, which one is it? Is it instantaneous, or does it take time? Because in my experience, it is not instantaneous. I mean, there are some mountaintop experiences, but when you go and try to live everyday life manifesting the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it's actually quite difficult to do. And the old man keeps coming back.
Yeah.
And keeps saying,
well, I think it's what he's saying, the gift is given to you immediately, but you just can't get the full benefit of it until you've gotten rid of the sin.
Well, he makes it sound like getting rid of the sin is instantaneous. Like, just make the decision. Just decide you don't want to be sinful anymore. Well, I make that decision every hour. Mm. But it's like literally. But it's still not instantaneous.
Wow. This is kind of, a whole different way of, a whole new thing to look at and to feel and kind of take in. I like these little gifts we get from these devotionals. Like, yeah. Wow, never thought about that, that it starts now. We're in the beginning of our eternal life. Yeah. And the fact that that's not a time is also kind of an odd, eternal life is just a way of being. It doesn't mean that it's based on time.
And it exists forever. It's beyond time. Hmm. That's a trip.
Wow.
Because we have been taught often that, the biblical scholars say that we'll have a different body mm-hmm. when we get to heaven. So there is the manifestation of the eternal life in mortal flesh. And then when we die, it's going to manifest in a different way. But it's still that the ante eternal and the hetia eternal that exists forever. It's got different covering. Russell, it's deep.
Wow.
Got a deep thought, but I'm still struggling with the whole, like, it happens in an instant, but it happens over time. You've got to make the decision to, I mean, does anybody walk around absolutely dead to sin? That 24 hours a day manifest the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Because if they do, I'd like to meet that person, because that's probably awesome. So yeah, it's,
Is it the simply being born again with the, along with the decision to, I guess you can't even say that, to do your best.
And remember, you can't do it in your own flesh. Mm-hmm. So your decision is to surrender. See, I like to compare this to Islam, because Islam was acrobatics. It was basically, oh my God, how many times can I pray? How many times can I wash? How many times can I recite these chants? You know, but what Christ is inviting us to is, let me dwell in you completely and utterly, and let me drive. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, let me take over. And my fascination is not, oh my God, is it pleasing? Am I pleasing to God? But what does that feel like to be
sinless?
Totally, yeah. What does it look like
I couldn't tell you.
In the constant manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ, like, what would your life look like? How would people conceive you? Like he says at the end, he says, we have to keep letting go. Slowly but surely, the great full life of God will invade us, penetrating every part. And then Jesus will have complete and effective dominion in us. People will take notice that we have been with him. What does it look like when Jesus has complete dominion over you? It's a completely different motivation. And that's when I first came to Christ. I remember scholars constantly saying, you don't follow the rules in the Bible because you think you're going to go to hell. You follow them out of obedience for the one who saved you and who you love. And I'm like, yeah, sounds like a bunch of rules to me. You're just characterizing them slightly different. Because I'm a rule follower, I'm used to rules. I'm used to a works-based religion. But the more I walk with him, the more I realize this, what Oswald's trying to tell us. Mm-hmm. You're not doing it because there's a fear of damnation. You do it because you want him to have dominion. And you love him, and you want to see what that looks like.
Yeah. Does it look like Billy Graham or Mother Teresa?
Who knows? Apparently, she was like gangster Mother Teresa. Like, yeah, I've heard a lot of interesting stories about Mother Teresa. Nonetheless. But
yeah. Everybody has thoughts. The thoughts are probably the greatest source of sin.
Right.
Like, you can look all cool on the outside and biblical on the outside, but inside you're saying, God, I can't wait till this idiot gets away from me.
But I never forget this great story Greg Laurie told about traveling with Billy Graham, where he slept in the room next to him. And he says that he was adamant about, because people will come up to him, recognize him all the time, mm-hmm. that there were never women around. Like that he would tell them that he never wanted a woman that wasn't married or family anywhere near him. Mm-hmm. And that's why he had a male attendant sleep in the room next to him, so that God forbid somebody would come knocking on the door and that he wouldn't be able to stop them. He would have whatever male was accompanying him answer the door. Mm. Like he was that vigilant about not being attacked by Satan through the attraction of a female. It's just, I don't know. I'm just sorry. Folks.
Then you wonder, I mean, I wonder, probably not anybody else, but you wonder how weak. Again, I think that's awesome that he's done that. But is he worried about the sin of the other person? Or is he worried about that he has trouble?
He's worried about the enemy.
But I mean, does he have trouble controlling himself around women?
Well, whatever it is, it's the attack of the enemy. See, mm-hmm. when you realize, and I say the same thing about Democrats, when you realize how formidable the enemy is, you never underestimate him. Mm-hmm. I think the greatest fall that we witness right now in celebrity pastors and the rest of it is they thought they were above it. Yeah. They thought they wouldn't fall. They thought they weren't susceptible to it. And I think what Billy Graham's were, and actually one of my previous pastors that Danielle and me go to, same thing. Like he has absolutely no contact with people that he doesn't know.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because there's just certain protections that people put up, you know, whether depending on whatever weaknesses they have. And I don't know. I think it takes a tremendous amount of strength to know what you know the enemy attacks you with and to guard against it. That's a gangster. I'm sorry. It's just like the OG method. Well, because I think it really comes from arrogance and pride to say, oh, I don't have that problem. You know, I have lots of male friends and I can hang out with them. And, you know, because you're basically saying, I underestimate the power of the devil, because you're not looking at that person. We're not supposed to look at people and be like, I'm worried about what, you know, Bob can do to me. Mm-hmm. You got to be worried about what Satan can do to you.
Right.
Not Bob. Bob's just a shell of a person, and Satan's just trying, you know, can use anybody. He can use a picture. He can use a person. He can use a voice. Yeah. He can use anything. Whatever the weakness is.
Wow.
The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you realize the more you rise in obedience to God, the greater the attack. Because they say a thief never robs an empty house.
Right.
So the more treasures you're trying to store, meaning the closer you're trying to draw to Christ, the more of a threat you represent to the enemy. Am I pontificating off of the reservation at this point?
No.
Okay.
You're on fire. I'm not speaking because I don't want to sound like Jen Psaki or AOC, where I say a bunch of words and they mean nothing. I just throw out a bunch of, like, it's like word
it's
jackpot.
The
like
versus the external.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. That's my sin. See, I was good until just a second ago for a second. But yeah, I mean, this is so complex in my, and again, there's so many things in relationship to God that we'll just never understand. And, you know, we have what we believe are the meanings of words here. And we've run across this a couple times where the Bible uses a word and we have our thought, like eternal to me sounds like a measure of time, even though it's infinite. And when it's using it, but yet saying this, it isn't a matter of time. Like you're going, what do you mean?
And it's not the heaven part. It's the earth part.
Yes.
I never knew that.
Oh,
well, that's why they say you should study the origin of the words that the Bible uses, because there's a tremendous amount of meaning that comes through when you don't read a translation. Wow. So there's that.
Wow. Wow. All right. Let's read a couple of these passages. Romans 6, 9 through 11 says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. for the death that he died in to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
See, that's what it's saying. It's like you just, you have to be dead to sin to manifest that life. And just the process of being dead to sin to me is a mystery.
Yeah. Like you said, is it even possible?
Right.
But is it required to get to heaven?
It's not to heaven. Salvation's, that's done.
Done. Okay.
That's done. I mean, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know your life is manifesting the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that thing, that's over. Salvation happens in an instant. The sanctification process is what we're looking at, is the crowns that Christ promises when we face him, is that he will look at us and say, you know, this is my son or daughter with whom I am well pleased, and receive crowns of glory that he saves for his sons and daughters that did his work on the earth. So we're looking to please him, but the salvation is in an instant. That's done.
Okay. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth.
End of the earth.
Is that the end where the earth is no longer exist?
To the outer edges of the earth? Or to when it doesn't exist? I think it's both.
And to the end of the earth.
Exactly. And the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
Ephesians 3:19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
I mean, folks, really read these passages, because when you real, because we see them sometimes as like catchphrases or cliches by a lot of pastors these days, like, realize you have the power to trample serpents. You've been given dominion over all the creatures of the earth, but they've turned into cliches that we're not really, I don't know. I know I haven't spent the time to understand. Now, what does that mean that I can manifest the fullness of God? And we can't do it in our own strength. We have to do it with the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And what does that really look like? How do you manifest that in your everyday life? What does it feel like? How do you know when you got there? It's overwhelming.
I put the link to the question.
Yes, you guys should read it. It's awesome.
Got questions for where we're at. And the question I asked was, what is eternal life? And so that link is in there. So if you want to read what we were reading earlier. But to answer your question, you just said, what does that feel like? I can tell you there's a distinct feeling that I have. I think on nearly a daily basis, of just a little, just more calmness in my life, and sure, more and less fear, less anxiety, and less depression.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But all of those things together, when you take all those and remove those from this thing right here, this thing, yeah, this flesh
tent, as Paul called it, my tent.
But it's a feeling of that I would never been able to describe. I never thought that I would ever feel this way. There was a time in my life that I thought, I was taking all kinds of ibuprofen and, you know, pills to help me sleep, Flomax, I don't know. I mean, I could just go on with different stuff. And there was a period of my time where I thought, as I was thinking, I go, gosh, is this how I'm going to feel for the rest of my life? I'm thinking, you know, from this point on, I'm going to feel discomfort unless I take these pills. And then I'm either going to be tired because of a pill, or I'm going to be, energized because of what I'm taking to not be tired. Right. Is there always going to be this constant battle of chemicals? And it does. And it was like, I just kind of resigned myself. Before I got into a little bit of the health and wellness part of my life, taking care of myself, eating better, sleeping better, all that kind of stuff. Like, I just resigned that that's how I'm going to feel, along with anxiety, depression, and hatred and spitefulness and fear. And right. You add all those things together, which when you add a bunch of drugs to it, doesn't make it any better. It just kind of sometimes masks it. But I am down to Flomax.
Aww.
Which I'm not sure I still have to take anymore. I'm just afraid not to. And I'm sharing this with you because again, what else am I going to do? What do I care? I'm married. Look what I get to be married to. So, why care? But to be able to, through taking care of the vessel that God has given me, right? It's my temple, his temple. This is God's temple. And learning how to take care of it because he demands that we do,
yes. Right?
Not abuse it and then use it, both the body and the mind and the soul and the heart, to spread his word. When you begin to do that, it is amazing how you feel so much better and been able to take all those drugs out of my life and no longer, I don't even take high blood pressure medicine anymore.
Praise report.
Yeah, but with no anxiety, no depression, very little fear. I mean, I scared you today when I came into the room and you didn't know I was there. But I've had that ability not to be scared. The kids constantly try to scare me and I won't even give them a
flinch.
No, they don't deserve it. So that's what it feels like, to answer your question. When you're with God do the things that you should do on a daily basis.
I'm debating whether I want to say something to you.
Go ahead. No, say it, because we need to have this discussion.
I just feel like the Lord has been very, very gracious to you, and you're in a mountaintop season. So this is the season where you're reaping the harvest.
Yeah.
And I am curious. No, I'm just curious to see what your valley is going to look like.
I don't know. Because
we do have, and the Lord takes us through periods of expansion and contraction on purpose. Yep. And
I talked about that the other day. I said, there's no doubt that there's going to be something that's going to come up to try to throw us off. Always, there always is going to be. I mean, was it not being near death in Kaiser Hospital saying, do not resuscitate? Was that a valley?
And if it didn't feel like a valley, then it wasn't.
Oh.
Yeah. No, seriously.
What?
No, yeah, seriously. Valleys, and friends, back me up here. Yeah. Valleys feel like valleys. Mm. They're not, you should feel miserable right now, but you don't. It is you literally have gut-wrenching pain inside your soul, and you praise on your knees. Like where you're brought to your knees by whatever trauma you are experiencing, you still worship your way through it. But at times God is silent. At times you're in a wilderness, just like he's done with all of his prophets and throughout time. I mean, there's the, when the Lord was in Gethsemane, he cried, he's like, take this cup from me, but thy will be done. You know, so there are times of gut-wrenching pain that the Lord grows us in.
I got a couple of responses. But Tim says, and this is, I feel exactly what he says, that is how it feels to walk in fullness of God. I imagine it feels weightless.
Yes.
Because you take those burdens off your shoulder, the monkeys off your back.
I'm not saying you're not always going to be this way, but I'm just curious about...
I think there's a difference when it's happening to me. To me, I'm fine for the most part. You know, it's like the cancer, all that kind of stuff. Like, and again, being as sick as I was, it was an amazing period of time. And I know that sounds very bizarre and strange, and you think I've lost my mind. But
no, not you, I but saw maybe you in it.
But I to answer your question, I do wonder, and I don't want this to happen, but it'll be completely different if it's something's going, the kids are going through, or you're going through, that's difficult. And I can't imagine.
Oh, that's how it comes. I mean, my most painful times with the Lord has been over Zara.
Mm.
Those are the most gut-wrenching.
But wouldn't it be worse without God?
Oh yeah, of course. I'm not saying it's not insurmountable, but I'm just saying that there are the mountaintop and the valley experiences, the seasons the Lord walks us through are different and glorious in their own way. The valleys, the seasons of winter are very difficult. They're very difficult, and they grow you in a different way. And I don't think, I have not witnessed you go through one. And you think you can't say that the ones that you think should have been valleys were not. Mm-hmm. You have to literally be in a valley to know. You know what I mean? Because the sickness was not a valley for you because it wasn't a valley. You'll know the valley when you're in it.
And I don't. I'm not saying that I won't have the anguish and tears of something, but the ability to work through it
will
be better. The valley won't be as nearly as deep. And I'm thinking a memory and a vision that I get is of an incident that occurred. And I want to say Texas, but I'm not 100%. A female police officer. She got off work. She went home. It's a very public thing. You guys will know what I'm talking about. She goes home, and I think she might have stopped somewhere beforehand. But anyway, when she goes, she's very tired. And she ends up going into the wrong apartment, and it goes in an apartment where there's a black man that lives in that apartment. She didn't realize she wasn't in her apartment, but she was in his apartment. She draws her weapon and shoots and kills him. She goes to trial. She's convicted. The brother of the victim, who, again, during this period of time that we're going through in our world, she's a white woman who killed a black man in his apartment, right? Yeah. He surely could have had hatred for her and anger and wanted her to be executed, all that kind of stuff. And the video is very powerful. And the boy, he has to be maybe 18, maybe. Believes in Jesus Christ, God is his Lord and Savior, and says, I want her to know that I forgive. He's looking at her and says, I forgive you, and speaking to her, I forgive you, and I love you, and I think that what my brother would want for you is for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then he asked the judge if he can hug her, and he gets out from behind, and the judge didn't know what to do. The judge kind of like, it's a female judge, and she goes like, she's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And she goes, yes. And he gets up and walks over, and they embrace each other and hug. And it's the greatest moment. The reason I bring that up is because there is a valley for that man. There's a valley for that police officer. But through the grace of God, it was powerful.
Absolutely.
And so I think what I'm trying to say is that having God in my life and having been able to take some crap out of my life that I absolutely did not need, and through his healing hand, both on my soul and on my body, my life is so much greater and so much better.
That's beautiful.
I hope that I didn't sound like AOC.
No. No.
But you can see that as an example, right? He could have hatred and anger and I just want her to die. And instead, through God, and through the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, he
had the exact up, yeah,
and hugged her and wished the best for her.
That's beautiful.
So I think that's pretty cool. Wow, where did that come from? Thank you, Jesus. Well, and yeah, look at this devotional. I would charge. I mean, sometimes you guys maybe just like listen to us, bring it up and read it. And I would encourage you guys to look through this devotional. It is one that gets you to think.
Yes.
We were completely perplexed, and I hate to drag Hedia down with me, but we both were like, what?
Well,
doesn't make any sense.
You have you walk around this world, your life, with an understanding of either scripture or words. And then somebody says, that's not the right understanding. Like the word eternal, he's like, you don't understand what that word means. As Jesus used it. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
How did I not understand that word? Mm. So that to me is, it's life-changing.
Yep.
It's life-changing. And this whole series that the co-crucifixion, the co-resurrection, and the co, what is this one are today? The co-eternal life. have really evolved the way I understand the relationship with Christ. And I think in particular, I talked about it, we talked about it last night on the Andy Valco show, which is our political show, where my mentor was like, be careful of the of allowing the enemy to attack you in a way in which the Lord does not intend, and guard yourself against that. And that was very, very good advice. But I know that as we try to walk closer to him and the enemy sees us as a greater threat, as we try to advance the kingdom, that the attacks increase. And so that's the place I'm at. And Oswald's basically teaching me new ways to look at it.
Right. Having Jesus Christ as our battle buddy is just incredible. It's kind of like going as a police officer and you go to an in progress call, a shooting in progress or something like that. You'd listen to what officers are being dispatched along, with you. And you're going, I really don't want 333 to go with me.
Right.
They're not a really good battle buddy.
Right.
But I would go to any battle with you and Jesus Christ by my side.
No.
And Tim Fox and April Roga and who else is on here? Of course, Danielle and Paul. All of us would, we'd just go to battle together.
That's what's so important too, right? Is having people that you're doing this walk with. And life with.
I'm sorry if I missed somebody, but go ahead.
I know it's so true because you need Priscilla, of course, because you just need people to lift you up, to pray for you, and to encourage you. It's a gift.
I wonder if Jesus would always take the primary officer position, where he would be the one that would give us, commands, or he would like lay back and say, "Take this one. You got this call."
That's an interesting thought.
If he would be the backup, if Jesus would be our backup.
But that's what Oswald's telling us. We are him.
Oh, wait.
The co-crucifixion and resurrection and eternal life. If you really read these three devotionals, he's basically saying, if you can manage to put to kill the desire for sin in you, you will manifest the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not going to be beside you. He's not going to be a battle buddy. He will be you. You will see through his eyes. You will hear with his ears. You will operate and move with his movement. And he said this in many, many ways throughout the Bible, but we're just not living it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
I mean, it's deep. He says the Holy Spirit doesn't give you power. He is the power. The Holy Spirit is the third manifestation of God. And it dwells within us. He, not it, dwells within us. In its entirety.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Jesus, take the wheel. See, we turn them into cliches, but what does that really mean?
We have, as humans, we have to have that. I mean, we have to have that, these things, and I have to have it. I have to have this, but we have to let them work and stop holding them back.
That's the thing.
We keep getting in the way. Put on the armor.
Yeah. Put on the armor against ourselves. So not only the fiery darts of the enemy, but I need a helmet against my own head.
Oh, Tim Fox, love this. My hair just lit up. That is so awesome. Oh my gosh, this is so good. How is it that this continues to happen? At one point, we're going to have to, we have nothing to say. God just comes in, and the Holy Spirit just comes in and just gives us these.
Because it's his floor.
It's just so awesome. God, I love this. Thank you, God. I need to ask for prayers for my daughter, Courtney. She's 26, right?
Yeah.
She turned 27 in April.
She did.
27. She did 27. Oh my gosh. I knew that sounded odd. She's 27. I know I don't look like I would have a 27-year-old, but I do. I also have a 7-year-old. But she's on her third interview. Have you heard of a third interview?
No.
With law enforcement, you have to go through like different stages, but a third interview?
Yeah.
Anyway, she's on a third interview for a job that she really, really wants. We know Priscilla had kind of the same situation, and we all prayed, and God was so amazing and allowed that to happen for Priscilla. But I would love for that to happen for my daughter.
Well, and not only that, but I think it's very important for our family, not only because she wants the job, but the job would allow her to work from home. Mm-hmm. Which would allow her to spend more time with us because she does have kind of odd working hours right now. And, you know, it takes her out at night and she gets tired and she's on her feet. And so I think having a job where she works from home would give her a chance to spend more time with us too.
And you know what's so funny? Where we're moving is really close, is closer to her too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So that would be really awesome. Aww. I mean, not that much farther. I mean, it's not like it's forever where she lives, but it actually is really close. So her name is Courtney. Like I said, please pray for God's, you know, direction on that. If she's not supposed to have it, we understand that too.
Yes.
But, it would be great.
I will be done.
I would like for her to do well for her confidence level. So let's pray for that, you know, God give her the words to allow her to shine in this interview. That would be probably the Amen. Best prayer.
And if you have anything you need us to pray for, please let us know.
Yeah, for sure.
We're happy to lift you up. And
all right. This has been amazing.
Thank you, everyone.
You were so good.
Nice. All glory goes to the King. I have nothing to offer. Every day I wake up, I'm like, more of you, less of me, please.
This is so good. All right, my friends, we love you so much. Again, give us any prayer requests you may have for us and the rest of the people that are watching. We'll make sure and send those out.
Yes. Right.
That is it for us for this Monday. Oh, this has been a great Monday.
Yes.
I love a Monday.
Love Monday.
Hey, God, make sure we want to tell you about our Loshodorant that we that we discovered. It's fantastic. We'll tell you later. But we love you guys. Just to remind us, like tomorrow, say, hey, tell us about that Loshodorant. It's a name I'm giving something. I made it up.
Yes.
But we'll see you later. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Yes. God bless you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.